Today is Saturday, March 7th, and this is the World Socialist Website.
War abroad, mass layoffs in the U.S. The working class must stop the assault on Iran. The World Socialist Website is holding an emergency global webinar this Sunday, March 8th at 3 p.m. EDT, Stop the War Against Iran. We urge all our readers to register to attend. While the criminal war against Iran rages in the Middle East, a parallel war is being waged by the American ruling class at home. The United States economy shed 92,000 jobs in February, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported Thursday, as the unemployment rate stands at 4.4%. The figure sharply reversed expectations of job growth and marked the third contraction in 5 months. Since April 2025, the U.S. economy has lost jobs on a net basis, while layoffs announced by major corporations have surged to levels not seen outside a recession. U.S. employers announced more than 1.2 million job cuts in 2025, according to monthly figures compiled by Challenger, Gray & Christmas, the highest total outside a formal recession or the beginning of the pandemic since they began tracking layoffs in 1989. Hiring announcements plunged by 55% last month and have fallen to their lowest level since 2010. The scale of layoffs is vast. Oracle plans to cut up to 30,000 workers. Amazon has eliminated 30,000 corporate jobs since October, and UPS is carrying out tens of thousands of layoffs after eliminating 48,000 positions last year. Block, the parent company of Square, fired nearly half its workforce in a single day. The Trump administration forced out 317,000 federal workers last year alone, and social programs on which tens of millions rely, including Medicaid, Medicare, and food assistance, are being gutted. And this is just the start, as AI is being used to destroy huge sections of the workforce. Microsoft's AI chief predicted that most, if not all, professional tasks will be automated within 18 months. Amazon's internal plans envision automating 75% of its warehouse operations, eliminating the need for 600,000 jobs over the next several years. The resources ripped from the working class are being used for two purposes: the enrichment of the oligarchy, whose wealth has soared to the highest levels in history, and to fund imperialist war. The United States has already spent roughly $3.7 billion in the opening days of its bombing campaign against Iran, while the Trump administration is proposing a $1.5 trillion military budget. This would be a 50% increase over what is already the largest military budget in history. At the same time, the closure of the Strait of Hormuz has driven oil prices up 35% in a week, sending shockwaves through global supply chains and raising the specter of a new stagflation crisis. It is the workers who will be made to bear the cost of this through price increases. The crisis is global. In Germany alone, more than 250,000 manufacturing jobs have disappeared since 2019 as soaring energy prices, driven by the NATO war against Russia and Ukraine, ravage European industry. The same governments backing that proxy war are now rushing jets and warships to the Middle East in support of the U.S. assault on Iran. Opposition to the war has emerged immediately. Polls and demonstrations show deep hostility among workers and youth toward another imperialist catastrophe, including among many who previously supported Trump. This widespread opposition finds no expression within the official political establishment. In Congress, both parties support the basic aims of the war and the massive expansion of military spending required to wage it. Within the corporate media, the debate is confined to questions of strategy and effectiveness, not the legitimacy of the war itself. As the jobs massacre accelerates, the trade union apparatus is doing absolutely nothing to organize resistance. The unions representing federal and state workers, the Teamsters, the UAW, and the rest of the labor bureaucracy have not lifted a finger to mobilize their members against layoffs, closures, and the destruction of jobs by automation. In response to the first wave of struggles this year, including the nurses' strikes in New York and on the West Coast, the union apparatus has worked systematically to isolate workers and prevent any broader fight from developing. This same apparatus has issued no call for opposition to the war. There has not been a single statement from the AFL-CIO, the UAW, or any major trade union federation opposing the assault on Iran. Their silence reflects the social function of the union bureaucracy, suppressing the class struggle and enforcing the requirements of the corporations and the capitalist state. Just weeks before the bombing began, the United Steelworkers pushed through a concessions contract covering tens of thousands of refinery workers, guaranteeing uninterrupted energy production and the continued flow of profits as the war escalated. The International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, IWA-RFC, encourages the development of rank-and-file committees in every section of the working class, independent of the trade union apparatus, to organize a coordinated offensive against the jobs massacre. This fight is inseparable from the fight against imperialist war. The working class is the decisive social force that can stop the war. The catastrophic economic consequences of the war, as well as the connection between it and the developing dictatorship within the United States, will demonstrate to millions of workers the need to force an end to the war, the dismantling of the U.S. war machine, and the downfall of the Trump administration. This must find an organized, politically conscious expression in a mass working class movement. The working class must oppose the war with the methods of the class struggle. Coordinated stoppages in the ports, shipping logistics, refineries, rail networks, and military supply chains would directly disrupt the operations that sustain the war. The recent protests by Mediterranean dock workers refusing to handle military cargo demonstrate the potential of such actions to impede the machinery of war. The vast resources now being funneled into militarism must be redirected to meet urgent social needs. The proposed military budget of more than $1 trillion should be scrapped, and the funds used instead to create jobs and finance housing, education, and health care. ICE and other agencies involved in domestic repression must be dismantled. The logic of such a movement points toward a general strike that would draw behind it youth and progressive sections of the middle class. Such a movement cannot be carried out through the existing union apparatus. The IWA-RFC encourages and supports the construction of rank-and-file committees in workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods, democratically controlled by workers themselves. These organizations must take the initiative out of the hands of a union bureaucracy that for decades has supported U.S. imperialism. Above all, the fight against war must be conducted on an international basis. Workers in the United States have far more in common with workers in Iran and throughout the Middle East than with the billionaires and politicians who profit from war. The growing opposition to the war must be transformed into a conscious political movement of the working class against the capitalist system that produces war, austerity, and dictatorship. By mobilizing its immense social power, the working class can halt the war and open the road to a socialist reorganization of society on the basis of human need, not private profit.
Trump demands unconditional surrender from Iran as war enters second week. The World Socialist website is holding an emergency webinar this Sunday, March 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to explain the origins of the U.S. imperialist war against Iran, the social forces driving it, and the strategy required to stop it. We urge all our readers to register to attend at wsws.org. President Donald Trump declared Friday that there will be no, quote, deal with Iran except unconditional surrender, the most extreme formulation yet of American war aims, one that signals the intention to wage permanent war until Iranian society is destroyed. In a phone interview with Axios, Trump defined what he meant, quote, unconditional surrender could be that the Iranians announce it, but it could also be when they can't fight any longer because they don't have anyone or anything to fight with, end quote. In other words, surrender is not a diplomatic act but the physical annihilation of a country's capacity to resist, the reduction of a nation of 90 million to rubble. The statement comes as the White House is considering the direct deployment of U.S. troops on the ground in Iran. NBC News reported Friday that President Donald Trump, quote, has privately expressed serious interest in deploying U.S. troops on the ground inside of Iran, end quote. According to NBC, quote, Trump has discussed the idea of deploying ground troops with aides and Republican officials outside the White House while outlining his vision for a post-war Iran, end quote. A headline in The Telegraph reported, quote, U.S. ready for boots on the ground, end quote. The Washington Post wrote that the U.S. Army has abruptly canceled a major training exercise for the headquarters element of the 82nd Airborne Division, the rapid deployment force capable of deploying anywhere in the world within 18 hours. The headquarters staff was ordered to remain at Fort Bragg rather than travel to Fort Polk, Louisiana. One official told the Post, quote, we're all preparing for something, just in case, end quote. The scale of the destruction inflicted on Iran after 7 days of bombing is immense and accelerating. Iran's Red Crescent Society reported that the death toll has risen to 1,332, with more than 6,500 wounded. More than 3,600 civilian sites have been damaged. The Shahid Hamedani Elementary School in eastern Tehran was struck Friday, the fourth school hit since the bombing campaign began, the latest in a series of attacks on educational institutions that began with the massacre of more than 165 girls at the Shajara Tayyeba school in Minab on the first day of the war. On Friday, Reuters reported that U.S. military investigators believe American military forces were likely responsible for the Minab school bombing. NBC News reported that the Trump administration told members of Congress in a closed-door briefing that the U.S. military was targeting the area where the school was located and that Israel was not responsible. The administration offered no alternative explanation. Iran remains under a near-total internet blackout. Connectivity at roughly 1% of normal levels for a seventh consecutive day. The Iranian rial has collapsed to a historic low of more than 1,660,000 to the dollar on open market. Hospitals, pharmacies, and banks continue to operate without reliable communications. The economy, already ravaged by decades of sanctions that had driven food prices up more than 100% before the war, is in free fall. Trump spent Friday morning meeting with the chief executives of the seven largest American defense contractors, RTX, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, BAE Systems, L3Harris Technologies, and Honeywell at the White House. Lockheed Martin stated afterward, quote, we have agreed to quadruple critical munitions production. As a result of President Trump's leadership, we began this work months ago with Secretary Hegseth and Deputy Secretary Feinberg, end quote. Trump boasted that they had agreed to, quote, quadruple production of the exquisite class weaponry, end quote, without defining the term, and noted that the U.S. possesses, quote, a virtually unlimited supply of medium and upper medium grade munitions, end quote, currently being dropped on Iran. The meeting took place as oil surged above $90 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate crude rose more than 12% on Friday alone and posted a weekly gain of more than 35%, a record since WTI futures began trading in 1983. Brent crude settled at $92.69. Traders warned that $100 oil was imminent if the war continues. Bloomberg reported that Iran destroyed a $300 million ANTPY-2 radar at Mowafiq Salti Air Base in Jordan, a critical component of the U.S. THAAD missile defense architecture in the Gulf. Its destruction leaves American air defense in the region relying on Patriot batteries, which are already contending with depleted interceptor stocks. U.S. media has devoted significant attention to statements that Russia is providing Iran with targeting data on U.S. military positions across the region, including the locations of American ships and planes. This is presented as quote-unquote interference in the conflict, while the massive and illegal bombardment of Iran by the U.S. and Israel is treated as legitimate. The report on Russian intelligence sharing is being treated in Washington not as a reason for restraint, but as a pretext for further escalation and potentially for widening the war to include direct confrontation with Russia, a nuclear-armed power. The Wall Street Journal headline read, quote, "Russia secretly sharing location of U.S. targets with Iran," end quote. The editorial boards of both the Journal and the Washington Post used the report to demand a harder line, with the Journal declaring that Russia and Iran are, quote, "working together to threaten U.S. troops," end quote. Israel has seized upon the war to launch a massive new offensive against Lebanon. On Thursday, the Israeli military issued an unprecedented blanket evacuation order for the entire Dahiyeh district of Beirut, home to hundreds of thousands of people, and ordered the evacuation of more than 100 villages and towns in southern Lebanon and the Bekaa Valley. Israeli troops have crossed into southern Lebanon in a ground incursion. Since March 12th, Israeli strikes on Lebanon have killed at least 217 people and wounded more than 798. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich declared that Dahiyeh, quote, "will look like Khan Yunis," end quote, the Gaza city that has been virtually leveled. In Gaza, Israel shut every border crossing on March 1st, halting all food, fuel, medicine, and humanitarian aid to more than 2 million people. World Central Kitchen warned it would run out of supplies within a week. In some areas of Gaza City, residents have access to as little as 2 liters of drinking water per day. Reuters published an exclusive investigation Friday revealing that Israel has been holding talks with Iranian Kurdish insurgent groups for approximately a year, coordinating plans to seize Iranian border towns. 3 sources told Reuters that the initial goal is the capture of the towns of Ashnavieh and Piranshahr in western Iran. The militias are believed to have between 5,000 and 8,000 fighters armed with light weapons. Trump told Reuters it would be, quote-unquote, wonderful if the Kurds crossed the border. Israeli warplanes have been bombing western Iran to clear the path for a Kurdish ground offensive, a deliberate effort to dismember the country along ethnic lines and trigger the collapse of the Iranian state from its periphery. Not a single faction of the American political establishment, however, opposes the war. The procedural objections raised by the Democrats are a fig leaf, designed to provide political cover, while the party's leadership endorses the destruction of an entire country. Both houses of Congress voted this week to give Trump a free hand. The Senate defeated a War Powers Resolution 47-53 on Wednesday. The House rejected its own measure 212-219 on Thursday, with 4 Democrats crossing the aisle to vote with Republicans. Democrats have issued procedural criticisms of Trump's launching of the war while supporting its objectives. Australian naval personnel involved in U.S. sinking of Iranian ship oppose the pro-imperialist Labour government and war against Iran. Statement by the Socialist Equality Party of Australia. The World Socialist website is holding an emergency global webinar this Sunday, March 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to explain the origins of the U.S. imperialist war against Iran, the social forces driving it, and the strategy required to stop it. We urge all our readers to register to attend. The Labour government has confirmed that three Australian naval personnel were aboard the U.S. nuclear attack submarine that torpedoed an Iranian frigate off the coast of Sri Lanka in the Indian Ocean on Wednesday. The attack without warning on the unarmed vessel in international waters was a monstrous war crime that claimed at least 140 lives. The Socialist Equality Party of Australia unequivocally denounces this act of mass murder. The involvement of Australian personnel directly implicates the Albanese Labour government in an atrocity that violates international law and that recalls nothing so much as the lawless military operations of the Nazis. The SEP demands the investigation of Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, Defence Minister Richard Marles, Foreign Minister Penny Wong, and other senior Labour leaders on charges of war crimes, along with the top Australian military command. Above all, we call on workers and young people to condemn and oppose this war crime. Without even a semblance of public discussion, much less a mandate, the Labour government has joined not only the criminal attack in the Indian Ocean, but the broader war of which it is a part. That war is one of unbridled neocolonialism. The U.S. and Israel are virtually carpet-bombing Iran, a country of more than 90 million people, in an effort to terrorize the population through mass murder, decapitate its government, and establish a puppet regime beholden to Washington. The presence of Australian naval personnel on the U.S. submarine only concretizes the craven and immediate support of the Labour government for the war launched by Israel and the U.S. on February 28th. Albanese was among the first world leaders to explicitly endorse this war of aggression and has declared that he fully supports these criminal U.S. quote-unquote objectives. Labour's involvement is inseparable from its role as a key partner of American imperialism, not only in the Middle East but globally, particularly in the preparations for a catastrophic war against China. The Australian personnel were working on the U.S. submarine as part of the militarist AUKUS pact between the U.S., U.K., and Australia directed against China. In the lead-up to Australia's acquisition of a fleet of nuclear-powered submarines from the U.S. under AUKUS, between 50 and 100 Australian naval personnel have been deployed throughout America's own fleet of nuclear attack subs for, quote-unquote, training. The circumstances of the attack on the Iranian vessel are a chilling warning of what the Australian personnel are training for, not only against Iran, but against China. The sunken Iranian ship, the Iris Dana, was in the region to participate in the International Fleet Review 2026 and the multinational exercise Milan 2026, to which it had been invited by India, along with 73 other countries, including the U.S. and Australia. The rules of the exercise included the ships carry no munitions. Departing those events and sailing in international waters, the Iris Dana was thus unarmed, as the U.S. was well aware. It was a comparatively tiny frigate, which, the WSWS noted yesterday, quote, displaced 1,500 tons, one-sixth the displacement of a single American destroyer. It was 94 meters long, powered by four domestically produced Iranian diesel engines, end quote. The vessel and its crew posed no threat to anyone. They were not engaged in hostilities or anywhere near the scene of armed conflict. The attack on them was an entirely cowardly assault by the world's largest military superpower. U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth boasted about the mass murder, declaring, quote, "This was never meant to be a fair fight, and it is not a fair fight. We are punching them while they're down, which is exactly how it should be," end quote. Such statements and actions are indistinguishable from those of the Nazis. The cowardly nature of the attack has been matched by the cowardly response of the Australian government, which sought to hide its role. Albanese and its other leaders have said nothing about the vile character of the attack or its illegality. Albanese has repeatedly declared over the past weeks that the legality or otherwise of the war is simply a matter for the US and Israel. In plain terms, that means Australia supports the war of aggression against Iran, that is in clear breach of international law, as well as the associated US and Israeli war crimes. Labour's immediate response to questions of Australian involvement was to declare it would not, quote-unquote, confirm where in the world Australian troops might be. The government only acknowledged the presence of three Australian personnel on the US submarine after leaks to the media. Now, government representatives are claiming there are, quote-unquote, guardrails in place when Australian personnel operate aboard U.S. vessels. Albanese absurdly suggested that the Australian personnel sequestered themselves in their quarters during the attack and did not participate. Even if true, this would change nothing. In this unlikely scenario, Australian sailors integrated into the American crew carry out vital work in the lead-up to the snake attack, then repair to their bunks to cover their eyes and ears like the wise monkeys who see and hear no evil. Other questions arise. Australian personnel on U.S. vessels are still formally under the command of the Australian military. That means that if the submarine was preparing to engage in hostilities, that would directly implicate Australia in the war on Iran. They would have been obliged to contact their command. If that occurred, the military command and the Australian government was aware that a war crime was about to be committed before it occurred. If not, the Labour government has given carte blanche for Australian personnel to participate in whatever military operations the Pentagon decides, regardless of their criminality. The involvement of the Australian military personnel in the sinking of the Iris Dana under the Albanese government is another chilling demonstration of the Labour Party's blood-soaked history as an instrument of imperialist war and reaction. Workers and young people, horrified by the onslaught against Iran, must take up the most determined political struggle against the Labour government. Reject the arguments of the Greens who criticize elements of the war, but present Labour as a hapless party being dragged along by the U.S. In reality, Labour is fully on board with the U.S.-led war in the Middle East and preparations for war against China as the means of prosecuting the interests of Australian imperialism. The Greens' call for a more, quote-unquote, independent foreign policy are a nationalist trap which goes hand-in-hand with its demands for the buildup of, quote-unquote, sovereign military capabilities, such as Australian-made missiles and drones. The pseudo-left organizations, such as Socialist Alternative and Socialist Alliance, are no less politically culpable. They parrot the calls of the Greens for a more, quote-unquote, independent foreign policy, which represents the interests not of workers, but of a minority of the ruling class fearful of the implications for Australian capitalism of the U.S. plunge into war. And now, as they have throughout the Israeli genocide in Gaza, the pseudo-left groups call only for more protests based on moral appeals to the very Labour government that is complicit in the U.S.-Israeli mass murder in the Middle East and wider U.S. imperialist thuggery. The pseudo-left and the trade union bureaucracy, for whom they cover, are seeking to corral workers and youth behind a political establishment hurtling towards imperialist barbarism and dictatorship. Their claims that Labour could be pressured, quote-unquote, to the left, only serve to cover up its relentless march to the right, including its turn to police state repression at home directed against opposition to the genocide and to war more broadly. The Socialist Equality Party, as the Australian section of the International Committee of the Fourth International, insists that workers and youth must strike out on a new political path. The genocide and the war in Iran are not isolated developments. They are part of a developing Third World War driven by the breakdown of the capitalist system itself. What is required is a political movement of the working class, independent of all the pro-capitalist and nationalist parties. As the ICFI has elaborated, such a movement must be international in scope, must mobilize the vast social and political power of the working class, and must be aimed at abolishing the profit system that is the source of war and reorganizing society on socialist lines. We urge workers and young people to take up this perspective and contact the SEP to join it today.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.